Hi, I'm Max Clark. We're going to take a couple minutes. We're going to talk about email authentication, why it's important, why you care, what you should do. I don't know. Use whatever language you want. Okay. In the good old days of email, there was no authentication and it was the Wild West. And we saw massive issues with spam. You know, there's a bunch of different approaches that went out. The first ones were DNS-based block lists, which was, hey, your mail server could do a lookup against a DNS list and say, this is IP address of the system that's trying to connect to me. Is it in your blacklist? And if it's in a blacklist, we can do something with the email. We went from DNS-based blacklisting to more advanced filtering. And this is when like the Bayesian filtering really kicked in. And we were, at that point, became looking for patterns within the message that would then designate whether or not it had a higher or lower likelihood of spam. And there's a lot of systems in the market that still use a Bayesian filter. If you look at the message header, you can see what the actual score is. And there might be hundreds of filters that go through and things that then test, and then you get an aggregate score that goes up or down. And then you can say, you know, above this threshold, it's spam. Above this other threshold, it's quarantined. Above this other threshold, just outright rejected. There was a system, message delivery agent, a TMDA, I think, right on top of QML. TMDA was really fun because if every inbound email went into quarantine, and then you as the receiver could look at your quarantine list and say, yes, I want to receive email from this source, or no, I don't. TMDA also had the ability of immediately replying back to the sender and actually forcing the sender to take action and say, hey, are you really a person? Click this link if you are, and something else will happen. 37 Signals, their Hey email product, has a screener. The screener is a modern version of TMDA kind of agent where message from unknown senders goes into the screener, and then you as the user get to decide if you're going to receive or reject mail. What I like about their screener approach is as part of that reject, accept or reject process, they also have you set up a filtering rule as well. Do you want this going to your inbox? Do you want it to go to your feed? Or do you want it to go to updates, you know, where you're just seeing receipts, you know, so you get a forced filtering against it, which is also very nice. It's not super granular because it's based on sender, but it works fantastic for most applications. Okay, fast forward, you know, however many years, and we end up with SPF. And SPF, sender permitted from, is text record that gets added to DNS. Again, we're using DNS or a signal. What SPF enabled was for the sender to designate what their sources were for email. So as a sender domain, you would go through, and actually today, still the same thing, you configure your SPF resources, a record, to say, I'm a Google Workspace user, you know, company, right? So include Google Workspace's SPF record and accept email from Google Workspace. Maybe you're using HubSpot or Salesforce. You would include their SPF record. You're going to have a mailing list. You're using MailChimp or using ConvertKit or you're using Beehive or whatever it actually is. Again, maybe you're using HubSpot. You would add the SPF record for that. Now, at the end of the SPF record, you get another flag that you get to set what to do if it doesn't match, right? And you get to send a signal of what your behavior you want to the receiving mail system to do, right? So you could say, this is absolutely all of my senders. And if it doesn't match this list, then reject. You could say, do a soft fail. So if a sender tries to connect to you and it's not in this list, it might be good. It might not be good, but you know, don't necessarily reject it. Maybe put it into your quarantine, do something else with it that's a little more gentle. Now, the problem with SPF, it is a DNS-based lookup and it is limited as a text record with how many entries can be in the text record, and then you could include other text records, but you can only go through so many lookups before SPF fails. And SPF flattening isn't a great technique for you either, because then you're actually having to go through and constantly query the different include SPF records and try to build out an include list that makes sense for you and do things with it. So SPF was a good but imperfect system that came out. And also, by the way, it didn't give you a lot of granularity of how to treat things. So then we get DKIM, and DKIM enables a mail server. So again, uses DNS. When you enable DKIM, what you're doing is you're creating a public and private key for your mail server to use to send and authenticate itself when it connects out. Usually a DKIM has two keys associated with it. Whichever mail server you're using, mail system you're using, if you're using Office 365, if you're using Google Workspace, if you're using something else, it'll walk you through the DKIM process to set this thing up. So you have to click the enable button. You have to add the records to your DNS entry, to your DNS, and then for a zone file. And then you have to go back to the mail server. And by the way, this is the key point here. You have to go back to the mail server and you have to say, okay, it's active. Start authenticating with it, because if the mail server starts trying to actually sign your email with its DKIM before it's published in DNS or available, things are just going to reject and get bounced back to you. DKIM is great because if you're using any of these systems or you're doing mail forwarding, now that platform has the ability to authenticate and use DKIM to authenticate and have a really strong signal of, yes, I really do am this thing. And even if a message header doesn't match or my host name doesn't match, you know, my hello or one of these other things, I still have this signed DKIM header. I have the signed DKIM on the message that enables it to validate that this is a good message. The last piece of all this stuff is called DMARC. And DMARC now allows you to set policy and additional control. And DMARC has basic, intermediate, or advanced mode when you configure a DKIM. DKM record. And DKM has policies. So you can set policies for, let's call it the root level. Normally you put DMARC at like, you know, so itbroker.com. So there's _dmarc.itbroker.com is the record. And you can have DMARC then exist at different subdomains. So if we had like info sending an email out, info.itbroker, we could have a DMARC record underneath info. Or in the DMARC record itself, you can say this policy, you know, subdomain policy equals blank, right? And your policies are accept, quarantine, reject. When you set policies, you can set thresholds and percentages. So if you're turning on DMARC for the first time and you haven't used this before, generally the advice is to start with a relatively low percentage, give an instruction to quarantine and start at like 10% or 20% or 50% and then work your way up before you get to a reject. Work your way up to 100% quarantine and then flip to a reject. And DMARC also allows you to signal to the receiving mail server what you want to do around alignment. And alignment is important both for SPF and DKM. So if something is trying to send and it has an SPF record but doesn't have DKIM, what do you want it to do? Do you want it to accept, reject, quarantine? If it doesn't have either, what do you do? If it has both, you know, what do you do? And you also get to create records in DMARC to send you reporting. And you'll see this as usually as an RUA record. By the way, this is just a text string. You know, it looks like gibbly-gluck until you know what it actually does. Or you can go and you can read the RC for DMARC and just go through it. It's not that complicated. There's 5-6 records or something, record types, and just how you apply it. The RUA record, you're going to want to not send this to yourself. Don't put your own email in this thing. Run it through a tool. And DMARC Digest has a free option. It won't give you a ton of data, but like it'll give you enough data. You could, for $10 a domain, you can get like a really good amount of data out of it. Cloudflare has a DMARC parser. If you have your domain registered with Cloudflare, you can send it to it. Still very much a work in progress. Isn't going to give you as much or as nice data as a DMARC Digest would. If you're running Mimecast or all the tools have some sort of ability to process DMARC. And what the report for DMARC is going to tell you is it's going to show you what's trying to send email out as you and was that email accepted or rejected. When you turn DMARC on for the first time, you're probably going to want to pay attention to this really closely for a while and make sure that you don't have a system that you weren't aware of trying to send an email out that wasn't authenticated and that was being rejected. After a while, you're probably going to start ignoring your DMARC reports. Maybe you just want to turn it on and look at it monthly, and it's just something you do as part of your monthly process of saying, hey, let's just skim through and see what's going on here and is anything trying to like freak out. We run our SPF and strict, you know, so it has a fail instruction, our DMARC as well, strict policies with a hard reject. You know, really, I think majority of the time what happens is somebody somewhere inside the company is trying to set up and send out email under the domain and doesn't bother to communicate with anybody else at the company of like, hey, we're starting to have mailing campaigns and we haven't bothered to communicate with anybody. And why isn't our email getting out anywhere, right? So if you're running any sort of tool to actually parse and give you DMARC messages, you'll see this all of a sudden because you'll have a spike of email on the graph of like, hey, the sender's trying to send out a ton of email for you. Maybe you care, maybe you don't. You know, maybe this is one of those things you just set up for reject. And when somebody wants to do something, they have to come back and actually go through the process of configuring DKM and SPF and getting it listed properly into DMARC, which is all same things. And by the way, every mail server is going to do this. Why is this relevant right now? This was just good. By the way, SPF, DKM, and DMARC does not reduce the amount of spam that you receive. Doesn't do anything for inbound email. It does, but not directly, right? It's indirectly helps inbound email because if somebody's trying to send email from a domain that lacks SPF, DKM, or DMARC, your receiving mail server can now block it or reject it or quarantine or use that as a signal to say this email is probably not great. But, you know, if somebody's out there sending spam, all they have to do is add DNS entries for DMARC, DKM, and SPF. You know, you pass all the signals that this stuff authenticates. So it's not a direct reduction of inbound spam. What it will do for you, absolutely, is it'll prevent people from using your domain to send spam out. So people can't masquerade as you, they can't spoof your domain, they can't run scams and different things and try to con people and then that come back to you and use your brand, right? So these are all really good tools to limit potential brand damage. And also you don't want somebody spamming under your domain name because then of course you get blocked and you can't actually email with your domain either, which is a horrible experience if that ever happens to you. So this is relevant because it's good behavior and this is just a good thing to run, but it's also relevant because the major email hosts, so Yahoo and Gmail, have changed their rules recently on how they handle bulk email senders. So if you send over a certain amount of messages to one of these platforms per day, you have to have a lot of things in place in order for them to accept email from you. So the baseline for it now is that you have to have SPF, DKM, and DMARC configured, or they're just going to reject or quarantine you. Flat out, like you're in the penalty box. If you're sending over a quantity of messages, you need to have low spam thresholds. You need to have a reporting mechanism. You need to have unsubscribe. You need to have all the rest of the things that you should have. By the way, when I say that you should have, chances are that you don't have to worry about any of these things because the platform that you're using to actually send out the email is going to have these things. So any of your mail list software that you're using to actually send out bulk messaging is going to have this. If you're sending out transactional emails from your application, this is a really good point of maybe don't send it directly and use a service like SES or Postmark or SendGrid, because then you can send out your transactional emails through these systems, and these systems can process and deal with all the other stuff that comes in and deal with unsubscribes and deal with these things for you and not have it be application and developer overhead for you. Email is effectively a free thing to send email. Doesn't cost you anything when you look at it from a volume standpoint. And this is why email spam will never go away. It is an incredibly efficient delivery mechanism, cost per message to send out. And there's always going to be a game of whack-a-mole going on with the email host of dealing with trying to identify and make a decision and accept what should be a good message and reject what's a bad message. And your goal as a responsible internet citizen sending and receiving email is to configure the baselines just so that way you have the highest potential of actually getting your email out from your users to where they need to go. And so today, that means if you haven't already done it, go through and add your SPF, your DKM, and your DMARC records. By the way, you don't have to figure out how to do this. Log into the admin interface of whatever email system you're using. If you're on Google Workspace, or if you're on Office 365, for instance, I'm going to assume you're on one of those two platforms. That's going to cover probably 99% of people watching this. Just doing an internet search and say, you know, Google Workspace DKM, and it's going to take you to the help docs. The help docs is going to link you into the admin interface to actually generate this stuff and give you the records that you need to copy and put into your DNS. Same thing with Office 365. So all you really have to do is figure out what your DNS host is and where do you need to send it. I'm Max Clark. A little history on email. Hope this helps. If you have any questions, comment below and we'll get back to you.